Javi Nagila, Javi Nagila, Javi Nagila Cubs are going to win.
You're like the poet laureate of Wrigley Field. You're the Gwendolyn Brooks of the North Side.
Wendy Short for Gwendolyn.
That's outstanding.
So this stat just handed to me. Javi Baez is the first Cub with two or more home runs in an elimination game.
Is that right?
How's that for kind of obscure?
That's an interesting stat. This time of year, no matter what anyone does, they quickly have a stat to, you know, point out the achievement or lack of achievement, and that's quite an achievement. Now, he was hitless until last night.
Yep.
He was taking home run swings every time up. On every pitch, he was taking a home run swing, but the ball and the bat were not finding each other.
You got stats, stat.
Yes.
They happen right away.
Thanks to our friend Dwayne Stats, former Cub announcer. He filled us in on those. So here's what I think, and I've been watching the game of baseball since I was this big, Wendy, this big.
That's tiny.
I was very small when I started watching baseball. If you win one game, that's cute. Like the Dodgers right now think, oh, that's adorable that the Cubs won a game. That's adorable. I think once you win two games tonight, then the other team starts to take notice and goes, uh-oh, now it's something.
So right now all we know is that the Dodgers are opposed to euthanasia.
Right, right.
Listen,
we know that.
We talked about this yesterday off the air, and I wasn't feeling very good for your Cubbies.
No.
I hate that Cubby, your Cubs.
Yeah. You keep saying that, and then you keep saying it.
I know, because everybody says it. It's like everybody says Chi-Town, but you don't say Chi-Town. I don't like Cubbies.
It's too adorable.
You can only win one at a time.
I know. But we talked about this off the air yesterday, and I won't speak for you, but I wasn't feeling positive for the Cubs. It didn't look good. They have not been playing well.
Correct.
And then I said, but what a story would it be if they came back and won four in a row? And I said, they are the team to do that. What a story that would be.
So true.
And it might be that story.
We saw it last year in the World Series, down 3-1. The team has the ability to come back from huge deficits. It's not impossible. If anyone in Major League Baseball could do it, it would be
last year's Cubs.
Because the Yankees have done all right this postseason. But, last year's Cubs was a little bit different
than this year's
Cubs. You know?
I'm not being negative. Listen, I'm not. I'm just being realistic.
But don't you see what I see? Like, all right, so one game, the Dodgers are like, all right, you know, anyone can win a game. It's a game.
But once you take
a second game, right, then they sit up a little straighter and go, uh-oh, this is not going to be as easy as we thought. Now anything can happen.
And it's Kershaw against whom tonight?
I think it's Kyle Hendricks.
No.
No, it's not Kyle Hendricks.
Quintana.
Right, from the White Sox.
Quintana. Right.
So how does he hit?
He's been doing okay.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't had much practice hitting.
As of game three, the two top hitters for the Cubs in terms of batting average were Quintana and John Lester.
Really?
They had the highest batting averages of any of the Cubs.
That says a lot.
That says it all. That says it all. Now, last night, we did see a very nice different outcome. Like the other games, the Cubs scored first by way of the home run. But unlike the other games, then they didn't stop scoring.
Right.
They scored more runs. And maybe that's what I told Joe Maddon this morning in our conference call. I said, you got to do what you did last night and keep scoring runs and not stop scoring runs. And if you get thrown out at the end and we win, that's fine too.
So no Wade Davis tonight.
Right, because he pitched two long innings.
Yeah.
Jake Arrieta did well. Might be the last time we're seeing him on the mound.
Don't. Why do we say that?
Because I've heard that from everyone.
I don't get that.
It's looking like.
Is he a free agent?
Yeah. He's going to command a huge, huge, huge salary.
They might want to pay it.
That's not my point. My point is we keep saying it like, yeah, well, you know, the Cubs are going to lose, and this could be we did it in the NLDS. Well, this could be his last appearance.
Yeah.
Stop, you know.
Well, it could be.
Well, but let's be optimistic. He's going to get another start.
I would like to see him start again. I would love to see it. Yeah, two would be even nicer.
We should play your song. We have to find that. Jasmine, Bill left.
Too late in the show. There's not enough time.
A Jake Arrieta song, which we should have somewhere on a file. If not, I could probably find it. A lot of requests for that.
A lot of requests.
Although we haven't played it and they won, so maybe we shouldn't.
I don't want to jinx it. I don't want to be part of a jinx. You know, I don't want to be the new Billy Goat. Just Bill Goat, because I don't go with Billy.
It's like Cubby.
Stop it!
Now let's talk about what happened very late in the game as a foul tip is called on a ball that was not a foul tip. And here's the distressing thing. Did you see this at all?
No, Wendy? I went to bed early.
All right. So You did?
I did. I know. I had no energy left. The Hawks got creamed.
I know.
And then it's like, I can't do it anymore.
All right. So there's a pitch to Curtis Granderson, a Chicagoan, that he swings at and misses. Clearly. He says to the umpire, oh, no, no, no. I foul tipped it. The umpire goes, no, sorry. It's
no
my
contact,
word against yours.
Right?
Yeah, you didn't foul tip the ball. You're out. And then the manager, Dave Roberts of the Dodgers, comes out and he goes, oh, no, no, he foul tipped it. But the umpire goes, I don't think so. I was right there. I didn't hear any. They don't always see the foul tip, but they do hear
right.
the foul. He goes, I didn't see it. I didn't hear it. So your friend is out. He can't bat anymore.
Your friend?
Yeah. And then Dave Roberts says to the other umpires, and there's a bunch, you know, during the regular season, you got four umpires doing a game, but in the playoffs, they got 35 umpires. So he says to the other umpires.
Two of them are in the 847 area code.
Right, they're way far away. So he goes, guys, convene, get together and discuss, because my guy foul tipped the ball, which he didn't. They kept showing the replay over and over and over, swings and misses, doesn't even come close. And the other umpires talk it over, and they go, yeah, all right. If Dave Roberts, you seem like a nice, upstanding guy. You wouldn't lie to us. Give him another chance. Well, Joe Maddon doesn't take well to this. He comes out. He's screaming and hollering and yelling, and he should. And he keeps saying, look at the replay, because they're showing it on the board.
Yeah, and they have the little iPad that everybody
right.
looks at. So
right.
take a little peeky-poo at that.
They
we almost
do it.
Apparently, we almost saw Joe Maddon in his jockstrap last
night.
I'm
all about the umpires, first of all. I'm not going to sit here and bang on umpires. I love a lot of guys on this crew. I've known them for a long time. But that can't happen. The process was horrible. To have that change, and if Granderson hits the next pitch out, you know, I might come running out of the clubhouse, you know, my jockstrap. I mean, that was, like, really that bad.
Oh, well, that would have been something.
There'll be little glasses on his jockstrap.
That would have been another NLCS record, I think.
Most people saying the word ew at the same time.
I was going to say most managers, ejected managers in their jockstrap, but
yeah, right.
I think they both are records.
Don't
they
say
would be.
Ejected.
They would be records. So he is furious.
Yes, he should be.
And rightfully so. And he keeps saying, he's pointing at the scoreboard saying, look at the replay. And they won't. They just refuse to.
So why did that happen?
Well, from what I gather, they're not allowed to use a replay for a foul tip. So they didn't want to be influenced by what they saw. But when it could be the difference between a game five or not a game five, it's, you know, it's this deep into the playoffs. Glance up at the replay.
When you think the crew chief, while they're huddling, would be like, okay, let's pretend we're talking, and you, Jim,
right.
watch
look
the
over.
Replay and tell me yes. what you see.
Yes.
You
yes.
know, the home plate umpire admitted later he blew it.
He made a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
he made a mistake how?
He should never
have reconsidered. It should not have been a foul tip.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought he was going to say, oh, by the way, no. It was a foul tip.
But it cost Madden. He didn't get to watch the rest of the game, you know. And they said this last night, and I was thinking this the whole time, because even after they had made up their decision, Maddon kept arguing and arguing and arguing, and I'm thinking, well, right now what he's doing is he's buying Wade Davis extra time because he's thrown a lot of pitches, so he's just going to stay out there and argue because it gives his pitcher more rest time,
oh.
and it did. It ended up working. So,
wow.
So it wasn't the worst thing in the world. You know, it could have been if he hit the ball, you know, but he didn't.
Can Davey Martinez now put on his resume that he's managed two NLCS games?
Yeah.
Or conclusions,
yeah.
anyway?
Oh, yeah.
That's a record.
I like him. He's a cutie.
Yeah. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll take a very fast break. We'll come back, and there's more things to discuss. If you'd like to jump in, easy to do, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN. Can I just quickly throw out a reminder? Tomorrow, Wendy and I will not be here in the Showcase Studio at WGN. We will be at Tree Time in Lake Barrington. We would love for you to come out. It starts at 10 a.m. It ends at 1 p.m. There will be great guests, terrific prizes.
We are completely booked.
Yeah, there's a lot going on tomorrow.
And pizza.
Yeah, they added pizza. Apparently, a lot of people said, I want to come out, but I always get hungry around then, and I want pizza. Will they have it? And at first we said, no, we don't have any, but now we do.
Thanks to Moretti's Ristorante and Pizzeria. And again, if you have, I have a bunch of Christmas trees that I put up. I think I have four that go up every
four
year.
Four trees.
Star Wars tree.
Oh, obviously.
Anniversary tree.
Yeah.
Which just has anniversary ornaments to represent every year we were married, which is 20 years this
oh,
year.
Oh, congratulations. Very soon.
And then a regular Christmas tree, and then there's a little Christmas tree in the bathroom because people...
What sort of ornaments are on the bathroom Christmas
tree? Toilet paper rolls.
Oh, that's nice.
Little miniature ones.
And Renewsits?
Is it like shaped like the air freshener you hang in the car?
No.
I bet it has a clean pine scent to it, though, doesn't it?
I do buy those things at Tree Time that since we have artificial trees, yeah. You can buy. They look like incense sticks,
but there's
a hook, and you hang it on the tree, so it really does smell and look like a real tree.
Oh.
You can find those at Tree
Where,
Time.
Not to pry, I'm just curious, where exactly in the bathroom do you have it set up?
Because on you would think that on the top of the toilet tank.
Oh, so it's what is it, a couple of feet high maybe?
Yeah, it's a little
one. Oh, that's easy then. All right.
No, I have it on the floor in the corner, so if you miss the toilet.
Well, a tree takes up a lot of space normally. I didn't know if your bathroom was that lavish that it could afford itself room for a tree.
No.
You have to edge around the tree to get to the towel.
Where's the toilet here? It's behind the tree. You got to get around the tree.
But at least there's privacy.
Just like outside.
But if you have an old tree that maybe you're sick of using, if you have four or five, and not a little one, a big one, you can bring it to Tree Time on Friday. The first three people to bring a tree to the broadcast on Friday at Tree Time will get a $50 off coupon at Tree Time. But if you donate one anyway, you will get a $75 off coupon
for select
Tree Time trees. You can bring it into your local Goodwill as well. The reason we're doing it so early, they need time to spruce them up, no pun intended, for people who want to go to Goodwill and purchase a tree at a discounted rate, and then you can make somebody's Christmas merry.
Right. Wouldn't you agree with me that of the remotes that we do, this is always one of the most fun? A lot of people have come out every year, and that's always nice to see them. And then there's new people every year. It's always fun out there. So if you're anywhere near the area, please come out.
And let me tell you the area. It's Tree Time, and here's the exact address. And I got to be 100% honest with you. When there are five numbers, I never know how to say it, but I think you do it 22102.
Hmm.
Is that how you do it?
Yeah, I think that sounds
You do
right.
three numbers first, and then the two stand alone?
Yeah. Was I saying it wrong?
Well, we both were.
Oh.
22102 North Pepper Road in Lake Barrington. Tomorrow from 10 to 1.
And the pizza, will it also be Christmas themed? I've never had cranberry pizza. Would they do that for us for a special holiday?
I gotta be honest with you.
No, you want more traditional?
Yeah.
I'm sure whatever they put on it, it'll be delicious. And everybody gets one piece, and I'll be watching that closely, Wendy. I'll slap people's hands if they go for a second piece.
I have a relative, I have to tell you, who whenever we order a pizza, I hate bringing this up, but it really gets my goat.
Yeah.
Bill Goat.
Yeah.
I have a relative who, whenever we order pizza, he or she takes a plate and grabs like maybe, and this is, we're talking square cut, the grid, at least six or seven pieces.
Right off the bat.
Right. I mean, don't you take like two, maybe three,
and then
kind of let everybody else. I swear to God, half the pizza goes away.
Yeah. You can't, have you talked to him about it?
Or her.
Or her? It's
no.
a her then, isn't it?
No.
No?
I'm not saying anything.
It's a her.
No, but I'm sure they're aware of it now.
You can't do that. That's it's just
have
bad
to make
pizza
sure.
etiquette.
If Bill Leff was there, he would slap your hand.
I would slap that
family
person's
member.
Hand. I definitely would.
All right.
And I'd write their name down.
I don't know what I would give it to, Santa?
I would keep a copy of it for future reference. Go, look what I have. This was from August. Look what you did.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Morning. You were talking about the anniversary tree. We have a travel tree for every place. She buys an ornament, puts it on the tree. It's great to look at, so you got to take them all off and dust it, and they got to vacuum the branches. And yeah,
you vacuum the branches?
Well, it gets pretty dusty. It's not like you can just take it outside and shake it off.
Right.
You kind of have to, you know.
That's what I do. I don't even know if I do that. Wow, you're good.
It keeps it nice and clean, though.
But what a great idea, because every time we travel, I always end up getting an ornament.
Yeah.
But what a great idea to have a travel tree.
Yeah, pretty much. I guess my favorite ornament is the one from Mackinac Island, because it's the little bicycle when you ride around and the wheels work and the guy that sits on it, the hands move. So, yeah, it's kind of a neat little ornament.
It's very nice.
Do you see, I'm sorry, but I'm getting a little excited about Christmas already.
It's not, I mean, despite the warm weather, it's
coming.
Months away.
All right. Well, thank you, Dave. I hope you can make it to Tree Time tomorrow. We'll be out there.
All righty. Thanks.
9 weeks away, Wendy.
Are you already finished shopping?
Yeah, I'm done shopping. Just finished. Just finished yesterday. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We've got news. Steve will give you the news, and then there's a lot more show. If you'd like to jump in, you know how to do it. It's 312-981-7200, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Wow, this song brings me back to Vicky Venturella's basement and a couple of makeout parties we had while in junior high.
Oh.
What has happened to classic rock?
What has happened to Vicky Venturella?
I'm friends with her on Facebook.
Are you?
Yes.
We should have her as a guest sometime. I'd like to hear more details about these parties.
Oh, that was just a flashback. But
sure.
Don't songs that you hear bring you back to certain memories?
Oh, always. Sure, definitely.
We have a guy that we're going to be talking to, a best-selling author who has written this book, Goodnight L.A., The Rise and Fall of Classic Rock, and it's the untold story from inside the legendary recording studios. I'm a bit of a rock and roll geek, and people who recorded things... I know when we record live reads, sometimes if we screw something up, you don't, but me and everyone else swear.
Yes.
So that's when you really find out about an artist when you're in the recording studio
sure,
with them.
I would imagine, sure.
And I just saw this video of Tom Petty. He was talking about, you know, with MP3s these days, you're not getting... the beautiful sounds of what I'm putting in. Like sometimes you want to hear different types of music and instruments when the music's very soft. It's like a lot of work goes into the recording of this. I do a lot of work doing it. So when you get something on MP3, you're not hearing the subtle nuances of what I'm doing.
Here's why that's strange to me. You would think that MP3, because we've advanced to that sort of technology, would have more depth to it, not less, but musicians always say it has less.
Well, it's analog versus digital, and you know how sometimes you're listening to something digitally and it sounds wonky?
Yeah.
It just, there to me, it's not, the clarity is not there.
Right.
I miss the, seriously, when you'd get a new album, you'd put it on, and I loved the
hearing the revolution of the vinyl go around and around. But isn't that strange? Almost anything else you look at as time has gone on, it's been perfected. But for some reason with this, even though technically it has been perfected, it isn't as true somehow. Musicians always say it's not as good as it used to be.
I do agree with that. However, it's easier, you know. I know you used to try and put your turntable in the trunk of your car and that didn't go so
no,
well.
No, that didn't work at all.
And 8-tracks, I never had an 8-track player. Did they sound good at all? They'd interrupt the song?
They'd sound fine, but that's what would happen. Like all my favorite 8-tracks, to this day, there's several Beatles albums because I used to play those 8-tracks over and over and over. And in the middle of Penny Lane, when it doesn't stop in the middle, I always go, wait, the Beatles just played straight through on this one? What happened to them?
See, that seems like a really stupid invention that happened.
Oh, it was awful.
Cassettes were good, although they would break when you used them too much.
Break.
But boy, that so began the mixtape.
Yeah.
Simply Snyder were the chapters of my mixtapes I made
for myself. Oh, they were? Yeah. My favorite one was called Night Drive. I had one that
really?
Was Night Drive because it sounded cool. You know, it was all the songs. It's like, what if I'm ever driving at night and I need real cool music? I'll go with Night Drive.
I had one that said Songs I Like.
Well, you made sense because look at Bill and I. I'm so pretentious. Night Drive. Right. Simply Snyder.
Yeah.
Volume 1 through 8.
On Night Drive, almost all the songs, not all of them, but I'd say 80% of them, had either the word night or some allusion to the fact that it was night, like In
night
the
moves.
Air Tonight, Night Moves by Bob Seger. A lot of them had night, just to remind me as I'm driving, well, it's nighttime because listen to the song. So y'all keep telling me.
So pay extra attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm anxious to talk to this guy. This book, Goodnight L.A., he's also written a book about the Wrecking Crew, which is the inside story of rock and roll's best kept secret, the group of session musicians who played with everyone. I have to read that as well. So we're going to talk to him. Yesterday we were talking about rock and roll couples. When we spoke to Valerie Bertinelli, you very bravely said, I can't believe you asked her.
I've always been curious. I asked about the fact that, you know, she married Eddie Van Halen, a quote-unquote rock star, and it's so many girls' dream to marry a rock star, but like I said yesterday, there's got to be some peaks and valleys to that, and she said, yeah, there are, and that's why we're not married anymore.
And we were trying to determine who has had a long rock and roll marriage, and I think Bertrand and I both thought David Bowie and Iman, and they were married for a long time.
They were probably married for 30 years, I bet, right?
1992 they got married.
Oh, yeah?
It was Love at First Sight.
So 24 years.
Ted Nugent and Charmaine have been...
A saint, that woman.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think he either roped her or...
Something's up. I don't know.
He shot her with a bow and arrow.
It probably.
They got married in 1989.
Yeah. All right. That's a long time.
Listen to this. He was at a Detroit radio station, Ted Nugent was, back in 89, WLLZ FM, the Liz... The Lulz.
Yeah.
And she was on the news staff.
Oh.
And they met each other at that radio station and ended up getting married.
Well, that's a happy story. Right.
Surprisingly, Keith Richards and Patty Hansen have been married.
That's got to be a long, long time.
1983.
Wow.
They got married on Keith's 40th birthday. They have two daughters.
Is she quite a bit younger than him? I can't remember.
Yes.
She is, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
He is 100.
He's not 100 yet.
I don't know how old he is.
He's up there, but he's not 100.
They just celebrated, I got to see when this was dated. They just celebrated, their 30th anniversary was on his 70th birthday.
Oh.
Dee Snider and Suzette Snider.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I knew he had been married a long time.
She was 15, he was 21.
Oh.
Ruh-roh.
So that's a long time. He is just going to take it for a lot longer. I don't remember the last time I've seen him do anything.
What just happened to you?
How about another couple, Wendy? Do you have any other couples?
Ringo Starr and Barbara Bach.
I forgot about them, too.
1981, they got married. Still married. They look like they're having a lot of fun. Ringo just put out a new record with Joe Walsh playing on it.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Ozzy Osbourne and Sharon Osbourne got married in July of 82 until they had problems.
Now, a lot of these are second or even third marriages, right?
I don't know that.
I think a lot of them are. Ringo was married before. I know that. And Ron Wood was married before.
Neil Young and Peggy Young.
Mm-hmm.
Since 1978. Some reports say 77.
Because my story yesterday was... It's got to be tough of all professions, of every profession out there, being married to a rock star would be the hardest.
But the coolest.
Well.
I got to tell you.
But think of, it would be cool, but it would just be so, so hard to make that marriage work.
What if you didn't like their music? Wouldn't that suck?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, honey, great show.
Right. Really, what'd you like about it?
The finale.
Yeah, that was the best
part. The encores were great.
That was the best part by far.
All right, we've got Kent Hartman on the line. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk about his new book, Good Night, L.A., The Rise and Fall of Classic Rock. It's Bill and Wendy, 720 WGN. It's Bill, it's Wendy, and it's 720 WGN, and on the line with us right now, Kent Hartman, best-selling author of Goodnight LA, and his previous book, The Wrecking Crew. Kent, how are you doing today?
Oh, fine, thank you.
All right, the book is available. Listen, I love classic rock and roll, and I have often said that rock and roll is dead, and I have to do everything in my power to save it. What can I do?
Buy lots of CDs and videos and go in a dark room and play them.
Bob Seger was just in town, and he had done an interview saying that, you know, no one's making money off the CDs anymore. It's all about the touring. That's how they're doing it. But back in the day, that's how they did it. They made records. And we don't have the book, but I'd like to know about some of the recording sessions. You said most recently you had a story about the late, great Tom Petty.
Right. So the book runs from the early 70s up through the early 80s, which is kind of what everybody considers to be the classic rock era. And so I've got an entire chapter about Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. And, Tom was a very principled guy, and there's a really good story in there about the recording of his famous album, Damn the Torpedoes. Do you remember that one?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so, but Tom had been grandfathered into MCA Records. They had absorbed this smaller label he was on called Shelter. And so Tom felt his deal with Shelter was, you know, an unfair deal, if not illegal, and he wanted to renegotiate with MCA, which they wouldn't do. So Tom filed bankruptcy, which freaked out the record label. And so then they froze the recording funds for Damn the Torpedoes. But Tom was in the middle of recording this thing, and it was going to be his magnum opus, his breakthrough album. And so he and his manager funded the recording of it themselves out of their own pockets. And so what they would do in the middle of the night, or in the like 6 in the morning after they'd recorded all night, they would actually take the 2-inch tapes off the recording machines and put them in Tom's assistant's car trunk, and that guy would drive off to an undisclosed location and hide those tapes so that the record label couldn't get their mitts on them.
That is crazy. And that, of course, the album that gave us, like, Refugee, Here Comes My Girl.
Some of his best stuff.
Oh, my God, Don't Do Me Like That.
Yeah.
So isn't that ironic? That, you know, you think of Refugee. Well, it really was a refugee riding around in the trunk of a car.
Absolutely.
Do you think, Kent, that MTV made music better or not as good?
Do you want the PC answer?
Yeah,
or
whatever. No, whatever
no,
you're
give
comfortable
me your
with.
Real answer.
For me, my personal taste is that MTV was so about the visuals that the music suffered that you had to look good instead of sound good.
Yeah,
I agree.
Have we rebounded?
I would say in some ways, you know, certainly by the mid to late 90s, there was a great rebound with a lot of the alt bands like, you know, Garbage or Counting Crows or people like that. And I think that's continued. It's just not on such a mass scale. People don't know about it.
The book is called Goodnight LA, The Rise and Fall of Classic Rock. It's the untold story from inside the legendary recording studios. It's available everywhere or at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. Tell us some of the fights that went on in the recording studios, because I bet there were a lot.
Yes, there were. Interestingly, you know, one of the more dramatic scenarios in the book, and I talk quite a bit about the band Chicago, which of course was from Chicago, and you know they were huge in the 70s, just a juggernaut, and you know they recorded quite a bit in LA, and so you know the first bad thing that happened to them was that their lead guitarist Terry Kath accidentally killed himself.
He
shot himself in the head, if you might remember.
We and talked so to his daughter, really, remember, Bill?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Trying to keep his legacy alive.
Yeah. And so, but after that, Peter Cetera sort of took over the band and became the lead vocalist, much to the chagrin of the others in the band. That wasn't their vision for it going into the 80s. And so finally it got to the point where they were in their management office in L.A., and Peter wanted to put out a solo album, and he wanted to dictate when they would tour and when they wouldn't, and the other guys were really bristling at this, and so they gave him an ultimatum. They just said, either you do it the band way, or we get a new bass player, lead singer. And so when Peter stood up to leave, the trombonist for the band, James Panko, turned around and just slammed his fist into the wall, and the drywall just spread everywhere, and everybody was shocked, and Peter got the message, but you know he ended up walking, so that was the end of it.
Kent, with these fights, you know, they're almost always creative differences. Don't you think it would serve a band well to designate one guy as the leader and let him make those decisions, or is that impossible?
Well, you know, they all want to operate as democracies, but it doesn't work very well. You really need, like you say, one or two maybe people who clearly are the leaders of the band. You need sort of a benevolent dictatorship. That's like with the Eagles. I talked extensively with Don Felder of the Eagles, and, you know, that was his issue, was that, you know, Glenn Frey and Don Henley ran everything, and Felder didn't feel like he had an equal voice.
It happens all the time, sure. I'm sure. Linda Ronstadt is featured. I absolutely adore her. What can you tell me about her?
She is so wonderful to talk to. I talked to her at length and just for hours, and just she tells stories. She's very thoughtful. She's highly intelligent. She reads all the time. And, you know, she told me many, many stories, particularly about, in the book, there's a great one about You're No Good, her big number one single. and how, you know, Andrew Gold, of all people, actually played almost all the instruments on that song and came up with that great Beatle-ish sort of outro in the song. And she just loved Andrew Gold.
Of all the people in the book, Kent, who is most like our typical rock star and who is least like our typical rock star?
I would say the most like the typical or the stereotypical rock star would be Rod Stewart.
Yeah,
the book.
I can see that.
And Rod Stewart, he actually throws a punch at a guy, so there's some more violence.
What caused the punch? What happened?
Well, his album, there's a world-famous album cover designer in Los Angeles named Kosh. He just goes by one name, K-O-S-H.
Yeah.
And he designed Abbey Road and Hotel California and all this great stuff. Anyway, he was Rod's designer, and they were friends. And anyway, Rod didn't like the fact that Kosh didn't want to do this highly vulgar album cover that Rod wanted to do that I can't even tell you about on the radio.
Really?
But there's the story in the book about it, and Kosh just said, no way am I going to do that. And so Rod Stewart reared back and threw a roundhouse punch at him, and it was only stopped at the last second by this little record producer who just grabbed Stewart's arm at the last second. So it happened.
So Rod Stewart's the most atypical. Who is the least typical of the rock stars?
You know, I'd have to say Tom Scholz from the band Boston.
Yeah.
You know, yes, they were based in Boston, but they were signed to an L.A. record label. And Tom is a genius, and he was the mastermind behind that first Boston album in 76.
Which, by the way, may I just say, is on everyone's list, your top 10, if you're on a deserted island, that debut Boston album would definitely be on that list.
Is it on your list?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
It wouldn't be on yours?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So nothing has ever sounded like it. And but Tom Scholz secretly recorded almost that entire album by himself in a crummy little apartment building basement room just filled with mice and spiders. But the record label didn't know it. The producer ran interference and told the label that, yeah, the band's recording it. But in fact, four members of the band were in L.A. in a studio pretending to record it.
Wow.
Tom was home doing the whole album himself.
Brilliant.
And Ann Wilson, of course, is featured from Heart. She and her sister Nancy are at odds right now, having a little bit of a fight. Were they together in the studio? Did they get in a fight?
No, they didn't. Actually, at the time, you know, they would, you know, squabble a little bit. But you know, they were recording in L.A. some of the time there, and they were pros. They were great. And the interesting thing about Ann Wilson is when she records, she does not just go into a vocal booth or stand at a microphone like you would expect in the studio. She's so used to being a stage animal that when she sings in the studio, she wants a handheld mic, and she prowls around the room and sings the song as if she's on stage.
Hmm. That is so cool. Well, she's getting into the feel. Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. Kent Hartman is his name, best-selling author of Goodnight LA and also your earlier book, The Wrecking Crew. They're in stores now or at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. I cannot wait to read this, and long live rock and roll.
Thank you very much.
Take care, Kent. Nice meeting you. Have a good weekend.
Thanks.
That's Kent Hartman. We'll take a quick break. We've got news next and then a lot more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Steve. Cubs game tonight. Good luck. That's all I'm saying.
That's kind of you, Wendy. Thank you.
I went to Walmart yesterday because if you need any shampoo or fake tanning items,
yeah,
so cheap there. I'm telling you, it's like $2 cheaper than you find anywhere else.
When will they finally combine the two in one product and make your life a whole lot easier? Wouldn't that be nice?
I don't need tan hair.
Just be
although,
paid to see if
does
you
Donald
like
Trump
it.
Use that type of
yeah,
shampoo?
Yeah, he's using it.
Because his hair is very
tan.
They're
testing it on him. President's choice.
Well, Walmart got a little study together, and this is from Business Insider. And Walmart reveals its most bizarre bestsellers state by state. So they went through each and every state of the U.S. of A.
Mm-hmm.
And the top sellers, for instance, Alabama cake mix dominates in Alabama.
So does that mean that in Alabama Walmarts, they buy more cake mix than in
anything.
The other 49 states, or that the most sold product in Walmart is cake mix in Alabama? What does it mean?
It says Walmart reveals its most bizarre bestsellers in every state.
But I still don't know. Does that so the thing that is sold the most in an Alabama Walmart is cake mix? Yes. Is that what it means?
Yes.
Okay.
That's right. The top seller.
All right.
The most popular items sold at Walmart, right, state by state.
I wonder why it would be cake mix in Alabama.
I don't know, because I thought Southerners cook from scratch.
Homemade, you would think.
Nope.
All right.
Alaskans are all about cute bathroom decor. So shower curtains,
I could
rugs.
See that.
Arkansas must be a lot of babies because baby products were the most popular item in Arkansas. California, Zyrtec.
Allergy
medication.
Yeah. All right. All right.
I would bet makeup.
Oh,
although
interesting.
Excuse me, if you're in LA, you're not getting your makeup at a Walmart.
No, probably not.
All right, never
mind. Very good point.
Thank you very much. Apple juice in Colorado.
All right, I'll accept that. They don't have a drug paraphernalia section in Walmart, do they?
No, not yet.
Bongs in aisle 31. They don't have that.
DVD collections in Connecticut is what is the top-selling thing. They have an...
like a boxed set of your favorite television show?
They have an example of Trolls, the party edition.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice to own?
Not really.
I wonder why in Connecticut, though. There's no correlation from state to state on any of these purchases, really.
Vitamins and medicine are super popular in Delaware.
See, now that I would almost attribute more to California.
Wait till you hear what Illinois is. All right, this is weird. Humidifiers are the most popular item sold at a Georgia Walmart.
All right. That's not that weird. Is it weird?
Isn't it humid enough?
Well, I guess it's seasonal, although Georgia's got a more temperate climate, so I don't know.
Here we buy it. Idaho Gatorade, top seller.
Yep, that would have been my guess.
In Idaho?
Yes.
All right, Illinois. Give me a hint.
Just give me a small hint. I'll get it.
I don't know how much cash I have on me, but there's no way you're going to get it. It's a very specific item.
Yeah. A brand name?
They list a brand name, but I think there are other items other brands of this type of thing.
It's Sudafed?
No, it's I'll give you a huge hint and you still won't get it.
Okay.
In the world of toys, it's related to toys, not necessarily
not
a toy.
It's not Legos?
It's not a toy.
Oh, all right, but it's related to toys.
There's no way you'll get it.
Is it a storage bin?
No.
Close? Am I
sort
close?
Of.
So nothing, you know, like they always have a section that's like clear plastic.
No.
It's nothing like that. All right.
But storage might be part of it. Something involving toys and storage. But not a bin. There's no way.
I wouldn't get it.
This may be in Illinois, the top sold item at an Illinois Walmart. This may be the most specific item on the list.
What is it?
It is a puzzle stow-and-go. It's puzzle storage. When you're doing a puzzle, you put the puzzle on this mat, and then if you haven't had time to finish the puzzle and you need your dining room table to entertain, you roll it up.
All right. I didn't know this existed until 9 seconds ago. How could that be the most sold item in Illinois Walmarts?
I don't know. Indiana hand sanitizer is the top one.
No, makes sense.
You're mean. They are our neighbors.
Makes total sense. I'm so confused about the puzzle stow and go.
I know.
And other companies make them too?
I don't know if that's like a brand name.
So it's like a yoga mat.
Right.
You make your puzzle on it, and then if people are coming over or you just need to clear the space, you roll it up and then you bring it out the next day or 2 days later.
My brother-in-law is a big puzzle freak.
Yeah.
I wonder if he has a stow and go, and if not, I know what
good
I'm getting
Christmas
him for
present.
Christmas.
But it's not like people are knocking the door down at Walmart to get. How could that be the most? Like,
I don't know, Bill.
I would have guessed anything but that.
Kansas is all about hair care, shampoo, and conditioner. Those are the most popular items. Kentucky is the state that loves their Legos.
Yeah.
That's the number
one
seller.
Somebody would register
Kentucky,
them with Legos.
Kentucky, though?
Yeah, I'm not sure why
that
Kentucky.
That surprises me.
Kim is from Kentucky.
What would you
Kentucky.
Think the top item sold at a Kentucky Walmart would be?
Cigarettes.
Yes, cigarettes.
Bourbon.
the combo pack of cigarettes and bourbon.
All right, in Louisiana, what do you think it would be?
Charcoal briquettes.
Nope, raisins.
Oh, raisins. Why?
I don't know. You can get more than a pound of raisins for $3 at Walmart, but evidently Louisiana already knew that.
You know what's interesting about this so far to me anyway is that every state is different. Like there's no, even states that are next to each other, their needs are totally different.
Maine, you've been there enough. What do you think their top seller at there? And again, this is at a Walmart, so that changes things a little bit.
I'm going to go with netting.
For lobster trips?
Yeah.
No.
It's not?
Those peanut butter and jelly Uncrustable sandwiches.
Oh, they're pretty good. But why would that be the number one selling item in Maine?
Because they're sick of lobster.
It's not an either or. You don't either go, I'm going to get a lobster or an Uncrustable. A Crustable or Uncrustable?
Uncrustable.
Do they also make Crustables or just Uncrustables?
No, you've
they
seen them,
make
right?
Both.
They're just...
I only had them once and I liked them a lot and just never had them again. They're
because
really good.
You're an adult? They're made for kids' lunches.
Most of the food I eat doesn't fit that category.
Yeah, I guess. Maryland, proud of their degrees, so they buy those certificate holders to show them
off. That was going to be my guess.
For Maryland?
Yeah, well, once you started giving me a hint.
Massachusetts, Bill, any guesses? The number one seller at Walmart.
I'm going to say gloves.
I'm going to say you use a lot of these on a day-to-day basis. And
mints.
Sometimes they go flat. you can answer as you want.
Tires.
No. Starts with a T.
Starts with a T?
John Lovitz.
Tennis racket?
Tennis balls.
Tennis balls? In which
Boston.
State? In Massachusetts?
Oh, excuse me, yes. Boston alone is home to more than 30 colleges. All those students need some tennis balls to hit around. So Massachusetts, that's the number one seller at their Walmart.
I will say, if you're buying tennis balls in bulk, you want to go either Walmart or Target. You pay far less than any place else. So
that's where I get my shampoo
smart.
And fake tan
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, very smart.
Michigan.
In Michigan, I'm going to say Kleenex.
That's a fine guess,
yeah.
But it's completely
it's
off.
Wrong.
If you're going to head on to Lake Michigan, you better take a life jacket. Life jacket is the number one.
Really?
That makes total sense to me.
A lot of water.
Yeah.
All right.
That's the only one that's
so
made
far,
sense.
This is the best one.
Minnesota.
In Minnesota.
The most popular item sold at their Walmart in Minnesota.
Mac and cheese.
Great guess.
Is that right?
No.
It's not?
Sports are big in Minnesota, so it's no surprise folding chairs get ordered from Walmart
really?
Often.
Really? I would not. All right. That another one I wouldn't have even come close to.
This is ridiculous. Mississippi.
Bonnets. Is that right?
No.
Did I get it?
I don't think they sell bonnets
they don't
at Walmart.
Make they don't sell bonnets?
Very specific again. It's Cran Energy Drink by
what?
Ocean Spray.
Really?
That sounds
That's
really good.
That's the top-selling item.
Yep, at the Walmart there. Missouri?
Scotch tape.
You know, your answers are just as random
Mine
as this.
Mine almost makes sense.
Disposable washcloths. I didn't even know they made those.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like baby wipes?
Wet ones.
Oh, those aren't washcloths.
Aren't they? Those are disposable
washcloths. They're baby wipes.
No, but you don't have to have a baby to buy. They would sell me one if I went in there.
Well, these are made for adults. It's called Assurance Value Pack.
Oh.
Premium washcloths, extra large, pre-moistened, disposable washcloths. That's hardly a washcloth. But Missouri, they buy the most of them.
Yeah.
Montana?
Oh, in Montana, I would say silverware.
Laundry detergent.
Or laundry detergent. Close. And it never explains.
No. New Hampshire nasal spray is very popular
yes.
there. That's the number one.
Yes.
New Jersey.
Weaponry.
Close.
Yeah.
Dumbbells.
Oh. All right.
Because it got to work out, man.
Right. You want to maintain your figure. All right. That one also makes sense. That's two that have made sense so far.
New Mexico.
Bolo ties. Is it true?
No. Golf balls. It says there's a lot of golfing
there are.
In New
yeah,
Mexico.
There is a lot of golfing in New Mexico.
None of these are that good. All right, this is ridiculous. Again, this is at Business Insider. Insider.
Insider.
Jeez.
Yeah.
North Carolina.
You did the dirty version of
I know.
You did the X-rated version of it. I'm going to get this one.
All right, North Carolina.
Alberto VO5.
No. Electric knives.
Look again. I'm almost positive it's Alberto VO5.
Do they still make it?
Maybe that's the last place in the country you could still get it, so people clamor to get it.
Again, Walmart put together this list, things that are most popular state by state at their Walmart. North Dakota loves lemonade.
Oh, sure. Does it say, is there a specific brand or just all lemonades?
They have Country Time listed.
Yeah? Weiler's and maybe on there?
Just Country Time.
Just Country Time.
Ohio,
What? You seem embarrassed.
No, it's just there's no way.
No? What is it?
Hatchimals. Do you know what they are?
I've never heard of it.
They're little things that hatch when you hold them in your hand. They're little toys.
They hatch?
They're little eggs. Remember they were all the range? All the range? That's Montana.
I don't think that's even a phrase. So you hold this egg in your hand, and then does a real animal come out, or like a stuffed animal comes out?
It's like a little animal action figure.
Oh.
And Oklahoma, that's all I have, because these are silly.
Guitar cases.
That's a good guess. I'd guess Tennessee for that one.
Oh, maybe.
Tools.
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Because people want to build stuff out there.
Any other states you care about?
Confusion.
Pennsylvania, also big Legos.
Oh, they are. Oh, well, then they lead the country. That's two states that chose Legos as their number one selling item. Good.
And Rhode Island?
Oh,
Bill Cosby is a fan. That could be taken in so many different ways. The old Bill Cosby.
The old Bill Cosby is a fan. Jell-O pudding.
Just Jell-O.
Jell-O? Yeah. All right.
These are crazy.
That made sense.
Most popular item sold at Walmart.
We will take a quick break, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Speaking of rankings.
Yes.
Chicago has been named for the third year in a row, I'm proud to say, the rattiest city in America.
Is that because you dress like a ragamuffin and other people do?
No, that has nothing to do with it. That's a separate ranking. We have more rats.
Oh, real rats.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You don't get named the rattiest city if you don't have real rats. We've got more rats, bigger rats. And better educated rats than any other city in America. The top five were Washington, D.C. was number five. San Francisco, Oakland, the whole area. Their rats commute. They live in San Francisco. They work in Oakland, and then they come back at
night.
Rent
is too high?
Yeah, the rent's way too high in that area. Los Angeles, number three. New York, number two, which you would assume that has the reputation. And I've been in New York. The rats are everywhere.
All right, wait a minute. So
you could get a rat with a rickshaw. Like if you say, I need to be on the other side of town, a rat will pull up with a rickshaw and take you there.
They're that big.
Yeah. And they're right out in the middle of the day. Because they're garbage. You know, we've got alleys, so the rats stay. They get it.
They stay in the back of the building.
Stay behind the building where the alley is. In New York, they don't have alleys. They put their garbage out in front, and there's just rats there. You just see them.
But there are ways to control it. I mean, yeah. I don't have rats where I live, and we put our garbage out in front.
Do you ever see them every once in a while? Though,
not in the suburbs.
You don't?
No, we have raccoons and opossum.
Yeah, they're everywhere, too.
Poor little opossum is the ugliest creature ever. They're really ugly. Mm-hmm. But here's what concerns me. We are now the rattiest city in the world.
3 years running.
Okay, we were also the top city for bed bugs.
Yeah.
What is there to be proud of here?
I don't know.
Certainly our football team.
Maybe that's what's attracting all the rats and bed bugs. maybe. I don't know.
Weren't we the top for bed bugs for a while,
too? We were the top for bed bugs at least the last 2 years and maybe the last 3 years. So what are we doing wrong here? There's more people in New York. There's more garbage in New York. I see more rats in New York. But I do have to say, when I do see rats here in Chicago, they're serious rats. They're not like cute, adorable, fun rats like you see in cartoons. They're rats that look like they could take you down if they wanted to.
Chicago rats are friendlier, though, than New York rats.
Do you think they are, really? Have you seen the ones on Lower Wacker? Every once in a while, a rat will come up on Lower Wacker, and you
think it's a raccoon or something, or a possum. It's huge.
I thought it was a wombat. It was so big. Didn't you do something in a car?
It's the dumbest thing I've ever done. And Wendy, you've known me a long time. The list of dumb things I've done. When you and I were doing nights at the Loop, I was driving home with Clay, who did news for us, and Shauna, who was an intern who attended Northwestern, and we all lived within a couple blocks of each other. So I would drive them home, and we were on Sheridan Road in Rogers Park, and a rat was coming at our car. Like, I was heading
on
one
street.
Way, and the rat was heading toward us, and all three of us pushed our buttons down so that the rat couldn't open the door and get in.
You locked the car.
We locked the doors so
that
the rat... Well, the rat didn't end up in our car, thankfully, but... It
you
was so big that we thought that that would keep the rat away from us, would be locking the doors.
It's funny, though, how your reaction goes. You know, you see danger, you lock the car doors. That's danger.
I thought you were going to say you put your feet up.
Well, I was ready to.
I would do that.
And I don't know what the word is. Like, if you read cartoons, you know, if you see a mouse, you say eek.
Yeah.
That's what you're supposed to say when a mouse is approaching. I don't know what the word is.
Holy.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, that would be the right word.
They are big here. And I hate in the wintertime when you see like the frozen ones.
Right.
That didn't make it through the cold.
They're gigantic.
They are pretty big.
Well, we are the rattiest city in America. So take that, other cities in America. We'll take a quick break. We've got news and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Wendy, we have to welcome somebody new to the program. John Espino is joining us today, film critic for HollywoodChicago.com. That's the same outfit that Patrick McDonald is always talking about.
So I've never seen him wear that outfit.
Yeah, he wears that outfit sometimes.
Only for special occasions.
How are you, John?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you. All right, a couple of things. Number one, off mic, we were just talking about binge watching, a phrase that didn't even exist a decade or so ago, but it's the art of watching an entire series in a couple of days, right?
Oh, yeah. In one day, usually.
In one day. Well, now, binge watching has taken on this new thing called binge racing. Have you heard of this, Wendy? Binge racing. Explain away, John. What is binge racing?
So Netflix recently released this term that they coined themselves, which is binge racing. So it's people racing to basically finish the shows, to be first.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's some sort of marathon.
But now, I'm not competing against someone else. I just want to get to the end of it if I'm really enjoying it. So I don't care if somebody else, because aren't these a lot of older shows?
A lot of them are older shows. A lot of them are newer shows because Netflix releases so much content.
They really do.
Like every week.
Wendy watched all six seasons of McHale's Navy in 3.5 hours. That seems like a lot, doesn't it?
Can I tell you,
fast forward.
Yep.
I binge watched the Ken Burns Vietnam War series. And that's a lot to digest. It's a lot of hours, and it's a lot of stuff that's unsettling.
Sure.
I'll just say that. But binge watching, to me, is the way to watch a show.
Yeah, like I see a difference between binge watching and what Netflix calls binge racing. Because racing just, I think you just want to get it over with. You don't really have
enough time to ruminate
the ideas or anything of the show.
I agree with you. All right, so this should be outlawed immediately, right?
Yes, right away.
Immediately. All right. It's been a horrible couple of weeks for Harvey Weinstein, and he had it coming, certainly.
Yes.
This guy's a monster. But what is the fallout now in Hollywood? It continues every day. You see more and more names added to the list of people coming forth and saying either he, Harvey Weinstein, or somebody else did something horrible to them years ago. What's gonna happen in Hollywood?
Well, I think it's great that this is finally coming out and that so many people are finally feeling comfortable enough to you know, name the person who abused them, even if it happened like a decade ago.
Yeah.
Like that they feel empowered enough in the industry to do it. But Woody Allen said, he's afraid that it'll turn into a witch hunt, which I think is ridiculous. And if it does turn into like a quote unquote witch hunt, maybe we need that in Hollywood.
Yeah.
I think it needs to happen. And I'm sure this is not the last we've heard of some top executive.
Oh, no. I hope it's only the beginning because it all needs to be aired out. Before it was kind of a quiet, open secret, all these casting couch tactics.
Yeah.
So now that it's finally being aired out, maybe something can finally be done about it.
Did you read the thing? Huffington Post had a story yesterday about how that phrase, casting couch, is so unfair because it almost sounds adorable. It's like a piece of furniture.
Yeah.
And furniture shouldn't be blamed for the fact that there are predators out there doing horrible things to people.
IKEA would agree too.
Yes. IKEA would definitely agree. So now here's what's happened in the last couple of days. Channing Tatum, who's one of the biggest stars in Hollywood right now, just denounced some deal he had with the Weinstein brothers, right? That's over.
Yeah, for a film he'd been like, he was going to star in and produce.
Yeah.
He'd been working on for like 2 years, which I think is great because the topic about it dealt with sexual abuse.
Yeah.
And
oh,
for it
really?
To come from, you know, the Weinstein company at a time like this, that's terrible.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the outcome was. Originally, I had read that his brother hadn't talked to him in recent years. It had been like 5 years and that he condemned what he did. But now didn't I hear that his brother
has been accused of something as well? Yeah.
Which I believe that they probably both are complicit in what's going on.
Sure seems like it.
Because they work together, even if they were fighting for most of the time, they still work closely together.
Right. All right. A trailer has come out for a new Marvel superhero movie, Black Panther, and it's being called revolutionary. Because why?
Because we're finally getting heroes of color.
Yeah.
Like it took, I don't know how many films, how many Marvel superhero films, but we're finally getting these stories from people of color, even though it's like a fictional, almost like a fictional civilization.
Yeah.
It's still revolutionary because it has a mostly Black and African American cast.
Yeah. So originally, I'm trying to remember, I guess Blade probably with Wesley Snipes was probably the first one.
It's one of the first ones with like an African-American male
in the lead.
Yeah.
Right. And then the Falcon showed up in the Avengers movies, but he certainly wasn't the main character. He was kind of an ancillary character. But Black Panther, that movie, he's the star.
He's the star. And, you know, as it should be, it's nice that we're finally getting these type of films from kind of marginalized groups.
How does it look? I haven't seen the trailer yet. Does it look good?
It looks amazing.
Yeah?
Like, it looks visually stunning.
Yeah.
It seems it draws a lot from, like, African culture, the wardrobe design, everything. But it's also high-tech. It's almost like a sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost verging on a sci-fi.
All right. So there's always been the stigma in Hollywood that if you cast a lead actor of color, that it might keep white people away from the theater.
What?
Is that the fear? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Even your top stars like Denzel Washington, you hear stories about them saying behind the scenes, well, we love Denzel, but is he going to bring white people into the theater? So is that the fear with Black Panther? Are they afraid that this could hurt the box office or help it? What do they think?
I mean, I think maybe that might have been the way it was viewed early on with the superhero comics.
Yeah.
That they turned into films. But now, like, this is something Hollywood needs. This is something that the majority of people want to see on screen. Because it's been too long.
I hope it's a good movie.
God, you bring up Blade. That was a really enjoyable movie.
Do you remember that movie?
Yeah.
I wish I want Wesley Snipes to return. I mean, he's technically part of the comic book universe now.
Right.
So he could show up at any time.
Right. Let's
and
bring
I want
him back.
Him to.
I want him back, too. They have a name for the new Star Wars Han Solo movie. Boy, they went really bizarre on the name, didn't they?
Yeah, I would have never guessed what they came up with.
Wendy Huzo.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Like, I would have never guessed what they would have come up with.
And the title is?
It shares the name with a very popular cup. Solo.
Solo.
Didn't we know that was the name of it? That didn't seem so shocking when I watched
Ron Howard's
video.
It was unnamed. It was like an unnamed Han Solo project for the longest time.
But I could have swore a couple of weeks ago somebody showed up with a T-shirt that had a logo that said Star Wars and just Solo. Because
I think they made that.
It
was like a fan thing.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then somebody, I guess one of the executives saw it, like, oh, you know, that's not a bad name for this movie.
And it's got some pretty big names. Donald Glover plays a young Lando Calrissian in it. Woody Harrelson plays Woody from Cheers in it.
Yeah.
Emilia Clarke is in it. Tandy Newton's in it from Westworld. It's got some really big names in it.
Can you hold your thought? Because I think we have a test we have to take.
Oh, yeah. All right.
And what do I do here, Jasmine? Hit this button, and then we'll return. I would like to apologize to John Espino, who is here in place of Patrick McDonald from HollywoodChicago.com. John is also a film critic, and I thought we had an EAS test that we had to hit exactly on the button.
Yeah.
But we had more study time,
right,
so I apologize for... I hope you'll come back.
Will you accept our apology, John?
Yeah, just finishing up this test you guys are making me take.
EAS test, yes.
You passed, by the way.
You did very well on it. All right, let's take a look at a couple of the new movies that are opening this weekend. The first is called Goodbye, Christopher Robin. The name would imply it has to do with the kid who hangs out with Winnie the Pooh. Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's exactly. It's about that kid. It's about kind of the creation of Winnie the Pooh as a whole, because it's based on Well, it has the same name as The Real Child.
Mm-hmm.
So the movie explores that. It explores child fame. It actually kind of shows like the beginning, the first film recorded version of Momager, like what Kris Jenner would.
Really?
Yeah, it has the mom kind of, you know, establishing a brand for her son, taking her out to performances. And it shows, you know, the detrimental effects it has on the child.
So who is this movie? Because when you think of Winnie the Pooh stuff, you think of kids.
Yeah, you think of kids.
But this movie is
it's not for kids.
It's not
no,
for kids.
They would hate it.
Yeah. Oh, they would?
Yeah.
Oh. So who's the audience for Goodbye, Christopher Robin, do you think?
I think just adults, people who are still young at heart, you know, who still remember Winnie the Pooh. Because they showed it almost like a Beatles mania kind of thing when it first came out.
Yeah.
So all these young kids are like, oh, we need Winnie the Pooh. Oh, that's Christopher Robin. Let's try to get a picture with Christopher Robin.
So was the real guy who inspired Christopher Robin, he's also a kid, was he excited by the fact that he was the inspiration for this, or did this ruin him?
Or do you both, not a little bit away? Of both. You know, when you're a child, you don't really understand it.
Sure.
You like the attention. But then once you get older, you realize you don't have a life outside of, you know, Winnie the Pooh.
You know what's interesting, tragic. John, is last week Patrick was telling us about a movie about the creation of Wonder Woman. And again, with Wonder Woman, you go, well, kids just saw Wonder Woman. They're going to want to see this. And he goes, oh, no, don't bring your kids. And now we have the same thing with Christopher Robin this week.
Yeah, it's these almost like childlike tales being turned for adult audiences.
Yeah.
Which I honestly enjoy.
Yeah.
You know, and even for Wonder Woman, it was almost kind of adult-based too when it came out. A lot of bondage, S&M, and that's kind of what the movie talked about.
Not a lot of bondage in S&M in the Winnie the Pooh galaxy.
Just minimal. Minimal.
You know why? Too much of a bother.
Well, that was his safe word. Oh, bother.
That's why Eeyore is always so sad. He doesn't get invited to these parties.
All right. That's why his tail's detachable.
I know. All right. So what is your ranking? What is your rating for Goodbye, Christopher Robin?
So I had great performance, and I like the way it showed kind of childhood fame. And it shows the effects that we see today, too, in childhood fame. But it was kind of a standard approach. It didn't become emotional until the last 10 minutes.
Oh.
So I'd give it about a 3 out of 5.
Well, that's not terrible. Yeah. And this is based on a true story. It does
it's based on a true story.
Yeah. All right. So Goodbye, Christopher Robin, 3 out of 5. Breathe. What is Breathe?
Breathe is actually by it's a directorial debut by Andy Serkis, who you might know as
He's
Caesar.
He's the apes in Planet of the Apes.
Yep. And as Gollum from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
So this is
a great actor.
Yeah. Great motion capture. He's like the motion capture artist.
Yeah.
So in this one, he kind of takes a look at the also true life story of Robert Cavendish and kind of the invention of a wheelchair with a respirator. Because back then, polio victims, they would be hospitalized forever. They couldn't leave the hospital.
Right. They'd be bedridden.
They'd be bedridden forever. So this shows the invention of that, how he pioneered it with his friends, and how he was able to have a really good life.
Yeah.
And so it's a really good story to tell, really important story to tell. But, you know, it takes kind of your typical approach to these biopic things.
Sure. And this is, of course, a drama. I mean, you told us what the storyline is. That's going to be some serious stuff over there. Any names that we recognize in the cast?
Oh, former Spider-Man, Andrew Garfield.
Oh, yeah, he's really good.
And then Claire Foy.
I don't know who that is. I'm
British
sorry.
Actress.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, she's good.
Yeah, and Garfield gives a great performance. It's very nuanced. It's also very respectful to like a person with a handicap.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds very interesting and something that I would like to know more about.
All right, so that's Breathe, and your rating on this is?
I would also say 3 out of 5.
3 out of 5.
But it has a great story. It was beautifully shot. Like Andy Serkis has an eye for detail. So I'm really looking forward to his future directorial.
Is he in this at all also, or just directing?
Just directing.
Just directing.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I like him a lot. And then Only the Brave, I see ads for it constantly on television. Looks like a good story.
Yes. It's well, the theme with this week's films is don't look up the stories before you go see the films.
Oh, really?
Yes, because there's some twists in there that they expect you to kind of go in not knowing the story.
Yeah.
And if you know, the emotional impact of it is going to be a lot less.
Diminished a bit, yeah. All right. So star-studded cast for this
one. Yeah, it's a great ensemble cast. Josh Brolin, Jennifer Connelly, Jeff Bridges, Miles Teller.
Oh, good people. And they play are they firefighters? Is that what they are?
It's they're called
will this ruin it if we know?
Oh, maybe will this ruin it? I don't know.
No, I mean, they're the people that help like control forest fires and kind of direct them into a way.
Well, that's what I was going to ask is, with what's going on in California right now, does the movie company get nervous and say, oh, this might not be the best time to put out a movie? Or do they say, well, it's fresh as the day's headlines. What better time to put out a movie?
Yeah, I think
like
that's almost free publicity for them.
Yeah.
And this story is, well, I don't want to, like I said,
don't want to give too much away.
Don't look up the story, the true story. I know you might be tempted.
Yeah.
But I didn't know the true story going into it. And it's, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of dark.
I sometimes not like, I really don't like to know what I'm walking into, kind of like every day.
Yeah,
but
in a way,
seriously though, it's sometimes if you know too much, I like not knowing the storyline when I'm going in to see a movie, and this is one way to do it.
Sometimes
for this
one. Terry will pick out a movie, and I don't know. I know the title, and that's it.
Yeah,
and that's the best.
I agree
with
you.
No idea what's
going
on.
Oh yeah, after seeing so many films that I see on a daily basis.
Yeah.
I stopped looking at trailers. I stopped reading synopses if I can.
Yeah.
I usually just go by the poster, and whatever I can get from that is the knowledge I have going into the movie.
Joe, because you're new to the show and we don't know that much about you, only what Patrick has told us, and it's all good stuff, just so we have a beat on what sort of film critic you are, tell us the best movie you've ever seen. What's your favorite movie of all time?
Oh, that's a hard one.
That's hard to answer.
Yeah. Well, I could tell you one of my favorite ones that I've seen recently that came out not too long ago. I really enjoyed the movie Mother.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Now, you know, you go against the grain of most critics because it didn't do very well at the box office and critics weren't huge fans of this movie.
No, and I knew it wouldn't do very well at the box office either. You can kind of tell the trailer even almost alienates the audience because it overwhelms people. People don't want to go to a film knowing they're going into
like a Lawrence movie. Darren Aronofsky's the director.
Like, you don't want to go into a film thinking you're going to be stressed.
Yeah.
I want to see that. I like to
be
stressed.
Do you want to see it?
I really do. I've heard a lot of critics' reviews. It sounds like something I'd be interested in.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's the director, Darren Aronofsky, very polarizing director. You tend
he's always
really
been
like
very polarizing.
Or
yeah.
Dislike his stuff immensely, right?
Yeah. It's either one or the other. You never are just like, oh, it's fine. You either loved it or you hated it.
He did that with Black Swan for me. You know, Wendy, what do I love more than the ballet? And there's nothing. And it's tainted me with the ballet.
Really? Yeah. Oh, I loved Black Swan too.
Did you? Yeah.
Yes,
right.
I did.
All right. So now we know what sort of.
And everybody has a different opinion on things.
Absolutely.
I like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for coming by, John. You did very well on the AES test.
Yes.
We didn't. I guess there were no tones that went out over the air.
No. So should that have been a real emergency? Good luck to everybody. it didn't go well.
Nice to meet you, John.
Thank you so much for having me.
A quick break, and then we'll find out what Steve has coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Phil and Wendy on WGN.
Like that? All right. We were talking about dead air during the EAS test, and then there was more dead air because that's how we roll. Steve Bertrand is here. We're going to the stream.